This is the Building Resilience Podcast, episode 172, Stress Resilience. Welcome to Building Resilience, a podcast where theory, practical strategies, and inspiring stories show you how to unlock your best life. I'm your host, Leah Davidson. As a certified life coach, speech-language pathologist, and nervous system resilience expert, it is my mission to teach you how to be more resilient to life's adversities. I will show you how to manage your mind, befriend your nervous system, process your emotions, and even eliminate stress. It's time to do more than just survive. It's time to thrive. Let's get started. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Building Resilience Podcast, and welcome to the month of April. It is the month of my birthday. It's a running joke in my home with my husband that when April comes around, I'm always like, well, it's my birthday month. So my birthday is only closer to the end of the month, but I like to celebrate every single birthday, even though I'm getting older and sometimes I have a little bit of a hard time with that. It's a celebration, right? It's a privilege to be getting older. So today we are talking stress resilience. A couple of weeks ago, back on episode, I think it was episode 169, I introduced you to the idea of stress reduction. And we first talked about what stress is. We broke it down that it's an actual equation. We have stressors, and those are things that could be internal or external. And we'll come back to this in a second. But that gets combined with our past experiences, our past learning, and then all the perceptions that we have, the perceived threats, which then combine with some physiological changes in our body, and that creates what we call stress. Let's talk a little bit again about stressors, because as I just said, they can be internal or external. Now, external stressors, these are the things that are obviously external to us, the things that contribute to the stress equation that are outside of us. They can be kind of bigger world things like the economy, changes in legislation, the pandemic, politics, or they can be more personal, like other people or the traffic on the way to work. Things on my to-do list. Now, we talked a little bit about some external stressors, that sometimes the best thing to do is to actually get rid of things, to try to eliminate things if we can. And this is what we call stress reduction. I gave that example of buying a plane ticket. You try to buy a flight that has the least connections. But if there are connections, you try to get a good airport or a good amount of time with the layovers. If you can do something about the external stressors, then why not? Do it. Change things up. Make things easy for you from the get-go. But then what happens is that many external stressors are things that are not in our control. So we can't just get rid of them. They may be things that are outside of that circle of control. Remember, I suggested to make a list of what you can and what you can't control. So looking at the list of what you can't control, things that you cannot simply get away from. With these things, we need to take a very different approach, and we're going to talk more about that approach today, and it's called stress resilience. But before we actually review stress resilience, I want to talk about the other kind of stress, which is the internal stressors that we have. These are the things that can also be part of the stress equation, creating that stress response that we physiologically feel. But instead of it happening outside of us, these are the stressors that happen inside of us. These are things like negative self-talk, that inner critic, that inner chatter that you can have. Maybe it's the perfectionist or the people pleaser or the overachiever. What we tell ourselves about our worth. These are our thoughts. They're our stories. These are the thoughts and the things that we create. And this is the drama that I talked about last week. So the math was sort of the things that we can control and that we can look at. Do we have too much math going on? But the drama is really extra layers that we add on ourselves when we add judgments and expectations. So they can be things like shame and guilt. We just sort of pile these extra emotions on. Now, where do these internal stressors come from? Well, often they come from how we're raised or what we're taught or what we've been exposed to or in society, what we've been socialized to. We may be actually predisposed for certain tendencies. We may have experienced things like intergenerational trauma or childhood trauma. Even living in the most supported, healthy households, we will experience things that impact us. You just can't get through life without being impacted. The messages that we received and absorbed, whether they were direct or indirect, we received and absorbed them. Sometimes these are things that we were explicitly taught, and sometimes these are things that were just sort of implicit and we just picked up on them. And many times these are subconscious things, but they act or they impact how we think, how we feel, how we act. Now, our own self-talk can be explicitly putting us down and criticizing, critiquing, and judging us. We could have a really mean inner critic, a mean inner girl. You know, you can't do that. You're so dumb. I can't believe you said that. You have no leadership skills. Who do you think you are? What kind of mother would do that? So lots and lots of negative chatter. But it can also be more implicit, where we kind of undermine our accomplishments. Oh, it was nothing. I didn't really do it. It was better than the last time. I should have done it better. I should be further along. So there's a lot of shitting on yourself in this more implicit undermining of our accomplishments. Often what happens is we're socialized, especially as women, that we need to do things perfectly, that we are responsible for other people's happiness. So that leads to things like perfectionism and people-pleasing, feelings of never being enough or feeling of being trapped or stuck. And these are all things that are often sort of mulling around in our mind and our brain, and they will be part of what triggers a stress response. These are all these internal stressors. They're all considered triggers. They're part of this equation, which leads to the stress response, like I just said, leads to the stress response being activated. And we can end up being in a very chronic state of activation, which could eventually lead to things like burnout. Now, there are stress reduction techniques that we can use for internal stressors sometimes. We can try. Maybe our story is completely inaccurate, and if we get some information, we can clear it up and it alleviates some of the stress. Or maybe we can outsource something that we've been mulling over that if it's taking up a lot of energy, so we can do the math, so to speak, reduce the stress by eliminating some of the stressors. If you can do that, then do it. But more often than not, the internal stressors really do need a different approach. And we'll also bring back some of those external stressors that are not going to be going away and that are here to stay. We need a different approach for them as well. Now, how do we deal with all these external and internal stressors that trigger the threats and the stress response that we can't change? We can't reduce them. We can't control them. What do we do with them? Well, we need to build stress resilience. And just up front, learning how to become more resilient yourself does not mean that you are responsible for external circumstances. So when I share with people, we want to build up your stress resilience, I'm not putting the blame on you. I'm not saying it's all about you. It does not negate the injustices, the imperfections, the systemic problems in the world and in society. It does not negate the fact that changes are needed in politics and workplaces, institutions, society at large. But building your resilience is coming from a place of power, and you can make more of a difference. You are learning how to manage your own resources better so that you can feel better, so you can be healthier, and you can live a more joyful and intentional life, and then help make a difference in the world. Staying stressed out does not help anyone, and it does not prove any points. Today, I want to share with you just a few stress resilience tips. It obviously is a huge topic, so big, essentially, that's what the Connections membership is focusing on. And of course, it's even more immersive and even more in-depth in my advanced training in nervous system resilience. But today, I just wanted to give you three tips to help you get started in building that stress resilience. We will first want to pull back out that circle of influence that you did two episodes ago, those lists that you made for stress reduction, what is in your control, what is out of your control. Remember, I said this is foundational. Focus on what you can control. We feel helpless and hopeless when we believe we have no control, and we can very quickly become a victim. With so many external stressors, we cannot control them. And then we have to manage our mind around them, what we think about them. But with our internal stressors, although it doesn't feel that way, we actually have a lot of control over them. And that is empowering. We can make changes. All right. So that wasn't one of my three tips, but it's an important foundational tip. The three tips I'm going to share with you are centered around the idea of reframing. If you go back to episode 108 called The Resilience Symphony, I share with you what my R's for resilience are. And we spend a lot of time talking about the R for regulating, which is obviously foundational for building up stress resilience. And today I'm going to focus on another R, the R of reframe, how we use our thoughts, our mindset to reframe things to build up our stress resilience. So the first reframe is to work on your thoughts about yourself and your level of resilience, about your capacity to handle things. Are you constantly telling yourself that you can't do something? What do you believe about your capacity? What do you believe about your own level of resilience? What do you tell yourself about your ability to handle things? Do you tell yourself that you can do hard things, that you are resilient? We often get stressed and burnt out when we feel hopeless and helpless. So we probably want to change the story that we're not hopeless and helpless. We can actually simply gain more resilience by telling ourselves we have more resilience than we think. You are stronger than you think. And that's what Pooh Bear says. He says, you're braver than you believe, you're stronger than you seem, and you are smarter than you think. And before you think like, I can't just say that, that's not true. I'd be lying to myself. I'd be gaslighting myself. I want to remind you of a study that was done by Martin Seligman. He said that we can kind of place how people cope on a continuum. On the one end are people who go through extreme adversity and may suffer from PTSD or pretty significant depression. And of course, the worst case, suicide. But in the middle, where we actually find the majority of people who at first will react with symptoms, maybe of depression or of anxiety, but within sort of a shorter period of time, they are eventually able to work their way back to where they were before. They're able to bounce back. And that is what we do call resilience. Now, on the other end of the spectrum are people who are not only often experience that anxiety and the depression or even more significant PTSD, but they do end up experiencing post-traumatic growth, where they are actually better off in some areas of their life than they were before the adversity. These are the people that Nietzsche had said, that which does not kill us makes us stronger. The point is, though, to expect resilience. We are much more resilient than we give ourselves credit for. If you are alive, if you are here, you are more resilient than you give yourself credit for. Because resilience is not about being strong and keeping it together all the time. It really is about falling apart and then getting back up. It's about bending and not completely breaking. Sometimes it is about breaking and standing back up. It's about getting through some of the toughest times and still being able to have some hope for the future. Now, what we water grows. So water the idea that you are much more resilient than you think. Now, the second way to reframe also involves watching your language, choosing your language, and choosing your emotions. We know that first you will need to regulate yourself, regulate your nervous system enough to get your thinking skills, your CEO, as I call her, back on board so you can do some choosing. So really another plug for the nervous system. We're always starting with regulation. And then you want to try to introduce self-compassion. Self-compassion is being aware that something is happening and you're witnessing it and you're observing it. And then the next piece of self-compassion is that common humanity piece, meaning acknowledging that, yes, I'm experiencing it, I'm aware of it, and acknowledging I'm not alone. There's other people out there who maybe are experiencing similar things or have suffered similar things. It's really a way of connecting with others, even when others are not around. I am not alone in this. Other people have experienced this as well. And then thirdly, treating ourselves with loving kindness, like treating ourselves like we treat our best friend. Those are really the three components of exercising self-compassion. We have the mindfulness, the awareness of what is, common humanity, I'm not alone, and loving kindness, treating yourself like a best friend. And that also includes watching your language, using soothing tones, speaking compassionately to yourself, saying things like, of course I'm doing this. It makes complete sense that I'm doing this. This is exactly what humans do. Or it's totally okay, I got you. Essentially, drop the judgment. Talk to yourself like you'd speak to your five-year-old self or your best friend. And I like to offer to people, would you be okay if a loudspeaker broadcasted all your thoughts out loud for everybody to hear? And if you're not, then you probably need to speak a bit more compassionately to yourself. And then thirdly, spend some time looking back on your past and finding proof of your own resilience. Look back on some of the challenges that you've had in the past. Where have you struggled? And ask yourself, what story have you been telling yourself about the past? Because you are the writer and the editor of all your stories. You can reframe your story from a place of resilience. So if you went through a divorce, at first your story may be one of sadness and being a victim, but you can reframe it with how strong you were, how you've rebuilt a life for yourself, how you're stronger, you're more independent, or perhaps you've lost a job at one point, and maybe you went on to find an even better job or started a business or just decided to take some time to take care of yourself. Or perhaps you've been struggling with an illness or an injury. I've seen so many of my clients who have suffered from a TBI be able to find proof of their resilience if they will allow it and acknowledge it, getting stronger, learning again how to walk, how to talk, how to think, or maybe even having a new perspective on life or appreciation for different things. It really can be anything. The point is, you get to rewrite and retell a story that will serve you better. Okay, so focus on what you can control. Remind yourself that you are way more resilient than you think and give yourself credit for. Introduce a lot more self-compassion and rewrite your story so that it is serving you. And sometimes even when rewriting it, as we rewrite it, we may notice, I'm just ready to let that story completely drop. I don't even have to rewrite it. Allowing it to be there, noticing that it is actually a story that I've created, sometimes it can just dissolve away and I can just step outside and I don't even have to pick that story back up again. There are so many other ways to reframe. We've talked even about reframing how you actually see stress, whether stress is good or bad, how we think about stress impacts our levels of stress. And we actually do need stress in our lives. I talk about this in my 30-second solution to burnout, the free video series that I have. You can check that out if you haven't already done so already. That is what I have for you for today. I hope you found it helpful. And go and make a great week. And I will see you next time. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Building Resilience Podcast. If you're interested in learning a little bit more about managing stress, building resilience, and leading a more purposeful life, then make sure we're connected on Instagram and Facebook at Leah Davidson Life Coaching. You can also subscribe to my weekly newsletter at www.leahdavidsonlifecoaching.com/newsletter. Looking forward to connecting.